Well, hello, and welcome to the Luke Miller Podcast. This is episode 2, and I am so excited just for the fact that it is titled the Luke Miller Podcast. I can't say enough how important those three little letters that make up the word the are in this podcast name. There's something about, as I shared last time, growing up and as a kid thinking that I was the only Luke Miller in the entire world and how my world came crashing down. I feel that even in the title of this podcast, there's just that small amount of validation that even if there are other Luke Millers in the world, I am the Luke Miller. And so I'm excited that I get to do this and share a bit about my heart, a bit about my life and what's going on. My plan for this is to continue on from where we looked at last week. And if you're just joining for this episode, last week we were taking a look at the importance of proclamation. Proclamation beyond just from a pulpit on a Sunday morning or from a classroom on a Sunday morning or in a small group or whatever settings that may find us in church life. But moving beyond that, even further to that individual life of proclamation of the gospel and how important it is not only to just take the knowledge of what we've learned into our lives, but actually to the point where we're using it to be active in proclamation wherever we may find ourselves over the course of the week. And so we talked about how important it is for us to be in that rhythm where we realize that proclaiming who God is and the story of God in our own lives is so important, keeping it at the forefront of everything that we do, that it is really a lifestyle. And so I wanted to build on this idea of proclamation because we're looking at what it means for us to be a church that is on mission and on God's mission and how we start to really push forward in our lives as individuals and our lives as that greater community so we can impact the community around us, the neighborhoods around us, our workplaces, our schools, wherever we may find ourselves with the gospel narrative and the word and saving grace that can only be found in Jesus Christ. And so we're going to continue on moving from proclamation to really how we prepare ourselves and what it starts to look like as we do this. And I want to say that for today, we're taking a look at the Bible. Now, okay, I get it. You're probably sitting there in your car, listening on your iPhone, whatever way you're listening to this and saying, okay, Luke, well, I know that I'm supposed to read the Bible. And I know that this is supposed to be a part of regular life. And it seems like a very general topic. But I want to go beyond just this general terms of, yeah, we need to read the Bible. I mean, to be fair, it's something that we've been told ever since I was in Sunday school or ever since you grew up in church. If you went to church, you knew that you were supposed to read your Bible every day. But I want to go beyond that and understand that Bible and living and preaching the Bible has to be normative in the church's life. And it has to be normative in our own lives as well. And I firmly believe this and because the church needs to be reading the Bible together, and we need to be reading the Bible together as families and as individuals to learn what, in order to learn what we can learn nowhere else, which is that only in the Bible do we find that God's good and gracious intent for all creation, the salvation mystery, and the identity and purpose of who we are supposed to be and what life together is supposed to look like. We can find all sorts of, I want to say, Band-Aid solutions if you go to the bookstore and you look up all different ways for self-help and really trying to bring it together through that. But like I said, it's more of a Band-Aid solution. There's something that only the Bible can produce when we look at the words of Jesus, when we look at the words that have been inspired by God as these writers write down how we're supposed to live life together. And I want to suggest that there's, you know, really two commonly held expectations when we think of the Bible. One is that we will seek to know the scriptures, and then we will seek to become obedient to the word which is revealed in scriptures. So there's two active things happening there, right? There's I will seek to know the scriptures. I will read God's word. I will try and memorize God's word. I will just dive deep into the Bible and want to gain more knowledge of it. But then there's this second aspect to it, which is that we want to seek to become obedient to God's word, which is revealed in the scriptures. That's listening and reading and studying and obeying the Bible is all integral part of church life. This is including its worship, its spirituality, its service, its education, its stewardship, its witness, all of this stuff. The Bible is engaged communally. The Bible's engaged in all of these different areas. And the overarching approach to scripture study in the body is not solely personal devotion. And it's not merely moral guidance. But is characterized by the question, what is the text saying to the church which is attempting to be faithful today? How does the biblical word prepare God's people for their mission in this particular place? What I'm saying that is how do we put this in a time and a location for where we're going to be outside of a Sunday morning? What is the text saying to us as a community that's attempting to be faithful this week ahead of us? And even if I put it even more specific, how does the biblical word prepare us as God's people for our mission in Fair Oaks or Citrus Heights or Folsom or Rancho Cordova? And again, I apologize because that's all of the places that I've learned through Google Maps and the geography for down in the Fair Oaks area. I mean, I'll throw Regina in there, but I don't even mean just our cities and our towns. I mean our neighborhoods. I mean the people to the right and to the left of us as we go about our daily lives, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, before we arrive back as a community at church on Sunday. So how does the Word of God prepare us for the mission of where we will be? Not just in the large context, but maybe in the more specific context of in your workplace. Maybe more in the specific context of your school or in your neighborhood or whoever you may come into contact with over the course of the week. I love to say that sometimes we don't realize the impact that we can make on people's lives, knowing that with that proclamation of God's word at the ready, with us being willing to share who God is, and with us going with the courage and knowledge that the God who created the heavens and the earth is coming alongside us on mission as he's calling us to go out to these neighborhoods, I really believe that sometimes we need to be reminded that heaven and hell hang in the balance of the actions that we are making as we share with people. What I mean by that is with being able to share the saving grace of God, we don't know if that is the first time someone in our lives has heard it, if it's the second time, it's the fourth time, it's the fifth time. But for me, it doesn't matter because I firmly believe that I don't want to be responsible for not sharing the gospel when I had a clear opportunity to. So we find ourselves back at the Bible and trying to say, how are we able to equip ourselves? Not only so we've got the knowledge, but that also we're able to be obedient to God's word, where we might find ourselves in the right place and at the right time to share God's word. And I want to take a look at this by... we're going to take a look at a a few passages from Acts chapter 17, and really we're going to be building off of this Acts chapter 2, verse 42. You know, when we read that the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Since we're talking about the Bible, I thought it'd be a great idea maybe that we'll do a little quiz of our general Bible knowledge for you as you are listening. And I hope you appreciate this, because I can tell you that there's a sheer large amount of work that went into this Bible quiz that I'm about to give you. Some of the lesser-known facts of the Bible, in fact. And so if we let's start with an easy one, maybe from the Old Testament. Many of you may not know that tennis was actually a very prominent sport in the Old Testament. And so our first question would be, where's the first tennis match actually mentioned in the Bible? Now, I can only imagine that in post-production, whoever's putting this podcast online is going to put in some sort of Jeopardy theme music during this time. But I'll skip right to the answer. It's fairly straightforward, and you probably have realized it and read through it and have just missed it. But we actually see it in the book of Genesis, in the story of Joseph, where it says that Joseph served in Pharaoh's court. And so there you go. We've got our first mention of tennis. Like I said, there's a lot of work that went into these questions. Here's another one that's more to deal with character. What kind of man was Boaz before he got married? And this is very important as we look at, you know, who Boaz is and the transformation that took place. And if you haven't figured out the answer, again, it's probably right there in front of you in the name of the book. Boaz, before he got married, was ruthless. Again, I will hold for the applause of just the sheer cleverness of that that question. And I can hear in the back of my mind Sarah's voice now saying, "That's enough. Let's stop at two questions." So I'm going to give us a third one here. I'm not sure if you knew what excuse Adam gave to his children as to why they were no longer able to live in the Garden of Eden. So another Genesis question, another Old Testament question. And if you haven't figured it out, it was, of course, that their mother ate them out of house and home. Let me just say that I think I'm nailing these. And mostly because I'm just recording this in a room by myself, but I can tell that there is sheer enjoyment as you are listening to this, and you're just saying, wow, Luke's knowledge of the Bible is just up there. That's what I'm going to tell myself, you're saying, and that's how I'm going to go to sleep great tonight. But let me jump back into this. That's a great segue, I think, from into really this Acts chapter 2 passage, where we see the early church devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, right? And the most basic essential for any healthy church is a commitment to hearing and learning and applying God's word. And often we hear and often we learn, yet applying is that tougher part of it, where the rubber hits the road, where we know all the lingo, we know we've got the knowledge to go out and to actually impact wherever we may be, but we have to actually apply it to wherever we may find ourselves over the course of the week. At this time of the first church, this meant listening to the apostles' teachings and reading the scriptures they had up until this point. But you'll also notice the words that they continued steadfastly. This means two things. The apostles were faithful in their responsibility to preaching and teaching, and the believers were faithful to continue in to learn and keep growing what was taught. They were convinced that their depth of devotion to the word would have a large impact. And I think that's one of the reasons why we see such a large growth of the early church, is because there's this knowledge that their depth of devotion to God's word was tied to the impact that it could make around them. And in our text today, we see an illustration of what can happen when several people correctly respond to the Word of God. And here we'll find several different principles that I want to just kind of cover that will hopefully enable us not only to discover the truth, but also to apply it to our lives. And so we're only reading from really two verses this morning in Acts chapter 17. And if we look at verse 11, it says, "Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness." I mean, what does this mean? That they were of more noble character. Originally, the word noble meant well-born or spoke of nobility. But later on, the word also came to mean people who had a generous spirit, who were open-minded towards the truth. They were not prejudiced. They were not hostile or suspicious of others, but they would give others a fair hearing. The Bereans, therefore, were called noble because they listened to the preaching of the gospel with open hearts as they pursued God and his truth. Now that's something important, right? That as they were listening to the preaching of the gospel, they did so with open hearts so they could pursue God and his truth. Not just then and there, but going forward. The people of Berea were more noble because, first of all, they received the message. And I think that's very important. Our text says that they received the word of God with eagerness. There was an openness to the word preached to them. They had an anticipation, an expectancy that might be speaking specifically to them. And this is what set them apart. There was this readiness and receptiveness to the Word of God. These are two characteristics which made them a cut above those who had just rejected the truth in Thessalonica. Now, I want to say that when we open God's Word, do we sometimes find ourselves just reading it because we know this is what we do at a specific time, at a specific on a specific day? It's our daily devotions, whatever that may be for you as you listen to this, or maybe it's for us on Sundays. But when we open God's Word, do we have that anticipation and expectancy that God is speaking specifically to us and calling us as we read to do something great? And if this sets the Bereans apart, then why aren't we actively saying, how can we be pursuing this exact same thing? When you arrive on Sunday, do you arrive with the expectation that God is going to speak to you? When you open God's Word in your devotions, do you go with that expectation that God is going to speak to you? And I think we forget the grandeur of that. That the God who created the heavens and the earth, the God who saved the people from the perils of Egypt and saved them from their wilderness wanderings, the God who has promised so many things and fulfilled so many things, the God of angels, of heaven's armies, is speaking to us. I think we forget the magnitude that is in the context that's in this chapter 17 right here. The magnitude that God is speaking to us, and that there is, and that we should have this expectation that God is going to speak to us. We need to come into this place of studying God's Word with the expectation that God will speak to us. Every Sunday, we need to come with eagerness of mind, with openness of heart to hear what God will say. If these qualities are cultivated by us, they will put us in a position where we can hear God's voice, but even more so, we can act on it. Act on where He is leading us, act on where He is sending us. And again, it's going from this knowledge to action. And we see that they received the word, But then we see that they researched the word. All right? It was great. They wanted to make sure that it was not going to be heretical in any way. Not only did they receive the word, they researched the word. They received the word because they were of ready mind, but they researched the word because they had a high regard for what is true. If you look at the last part of verse 11, it says, "For they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see what Paul said, to see if what Paul said was true." The Bereans weren't content with the word of one man. And the reasoning of Paul was just not enough for them. They wanted more. They wanted to be sure that it was the word of the God. Word of God. They wanted that Old Testament line that you read at the beginning of the prophets, which is, "Thus says the Lord." Right? They wanted to know that what Paul was saying was truth. And so they searched the scriptures daily to see what they were being taught was true or not. Bereans listened to Paul's preaching, they received it. And we're told that they did this day in and day out. Just as the Israelites had to gather for manna daily, it's really the duty and the privilege of Christians to study God's word every day. So where does that put us as we're listening to this and as I'm going through this? Do you welcome the message of the gospel as the Bereans did? Do you study it daily? Do you study it with passion? Do you study it with enthusiasm, with zeal, with delight, with hunger, knowing that God is going to speak to you? And that's where I see us going. This is where I want us to be, and how I pray that God will prepare our hearts, God will prepare my heart for what lies next. Is that it's not just reading God's word and reading through these simple words that are on a page like it was any other story in any other book in any other library. But going beyond it, beyond reading, to asking where our heart is as we read it. Is it filled with passion? Is it filled with enthusiasm? Is it filled with zeal, delight, and hunger that God is going to speak to us? And what we see here is a strong statement for every believer that everyone can hear directly from God through his word. That's precisely what we see exemplified in this passage. Bereans searching the scriptures because they knew they could hear God. It doesn't take a theologian or a member of clergy to interpret the word of God for you. God gives each of us the Holy Spirit to help us understand it and help us apply it. And I think it's important for us to realize the magnitude of this. If we don't do this daily, we'll either just accept what someone else says is the truth and potentially be led to error, or we won't hear what God is saying to us in the first place and therefore fail to obey him. These Bereans search the scriptures daily. They research the word of God because they had this high regard for what truth is. And it's like anything. For those who play sports, it's that training mentality. I always say for me the toughest thing if I'm about to go on a run, especially if I go on the treadmill, is hitting the start button. I can stare at that start button for 5 minutes. I know what lies ahead. I know that at some point I'm probably going to want to hit stop because I feel like I'm too tired. I know that it's going to be difficult. I know that it's not exactly going to be a fun time. And so I stare at that start button, knowing what I need to do. But until I hit start, I'm not really putting anything into action. And it's like that with anything you do, with training and getting that routine going. And when we look at what comes next in this passage in verse 12, is we see that they responded to the word. It says in verse 12 that many Jews believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. These people received the word of God because they were of ready mind. They were ready to hear it. Often you'll hear me pray if I'm speaking in church. I'll say, you know, God, soften our hearts to allow us to hear what you need us to hear today. And I think that's one of the things that we see happening here, is these people received the word because they were ready. They researched the word because they had that high regard for truth, and now they've responded to the word because they knew it was a direct revelation from God, and they knew the magnitude of that statement. And look what happens next. Look what happens in all of this. It says, many of them believed. Many of the Jews believed. It was because of their research that they had responded. And when we see that all of these people believe, I mean, this is the outflow of the Bereans searching God's word, hearing God's word. And now this action turns into this great response where people start believing, both Jews and Greeks alike in this. And I think it's easy for us to say that so many people today want to hear from God before they decide whether they are going to obey what they hear. But they will never hear until they are willing to obey. I used to always make the joke that every Monday morning in the winter up here in Saskatchewan, that I would wait by the phone for the first 10 minutes of every Monday morning. And I would wait there, waiting for a church in the Bahamas to call me, asking if I would be interested in a job being a pastor to the golfers who were coming down on vacation. And although it would be a lot of days outside in the heat, you know, it'd be something that, like, they would ask if there's something I'd be willing to do, you know? And I sat there. And now, I'd been up in Saskatchewan 9 years, and you know how many times the phone has rung in that first 10 minutes of Monday morning? Well, it's rung, but never been a church from Bermuda asking me, or the Bahamas asking me, to be their golf course pastor. And so I say this in kind of this, I say this because it seems like often we say, God, this is what I'm willing to do. This is, you know, I want to decide what I want to do. And then God, if it fits into that realm of things that I want to do, then I'll do it. Rather, to go in saying, I will obey, and I'm going to listen to where you call me. Right? And this is where this response really starts to take place. They responded because they were steadfastly devoted to living out what they had learned. And as we talked about in episode 1 and now in episode 2, we're trying to search out what it means for us to be a church on mission. And if it means proclaiming the gospel, then that's an action word, right? And if we're supposed to respond to God's word from what we've learned, that again is also an action word on how we respond. And it's more than just hearing what we want to hear. It's truly being able to listen to what God wants us to hear. In John chapter 7, verse 17, it says, if any man is willing to do his will, he shall know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. A person must be willing to do God's will in order to have discernment to hear from God. There is a moral element involved in hearing the truth. It's God's will, and God's will isn't all that difficult for us to figure out. The more difficult matter is our own will and wrestling with that. And And I can point to several different times in my life where I've thought I've wanted one thing. I know I've wanted one thing, and yet God has led me to another place. When I was in Australia, and this was in year 2000, sometime around there, and I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And I remember getting a phone call from my old worship pastor, who is now a professor out at the Bible college that I ended up going to, telling me, hey, you should really come out here. And it wasn't the first time that someone had suggested you should head out to that Bible college. And all sorts of different ways people had kind of brought it up around me, or I'd run into people from that Bible college. And yet, I was still wrestling with it. Because here I was sitting in a place on the east coast of Australia, literally called Surfer's Paradise, and now I'm supposed to go to a landlocked province in Canada. It seemed absurd, but it had seemed absurd to me. It did not seem absurd to God, and that's what I'm trying to get at. I can wrestle with God all I want, but my life is going to be a lot easier if I'm ready to just listen rather than wrestle and really take into account God's will, not take into account my will and try and fit God into it. I really think for us, when we look at what this means for us as a community and God's word is one, this excitement. There's something that you can see in Acts chapter 17 that just shows the excitement that's going on from reading God's word, both in the community and in their individual devotions. And it also shows the direct impact that it made when they decided to act on it. I believe that for us, that the community gives visible evidence that its life, its work, its witness, its worship are influenced and shaped by what the community is learning together from Scripture's revelation of God's claim on our lives. Let me say that again, is that because I believe that for us as a church, if we are a church on mission and we are seeking to be in God's word, the outflow of this is this visible evidence that our lives, our work, our witness, our worship are all influenced and shaped by what the community is learning from Scripture's revelation of God's claim on our lives. The community has established processes. Like for us as a church, we've established these processes through which it reflects critically on hearing the gospel. And we have obedience to the gospel imperatives in order to become more faithful disciples of Jesus. And this is the most important thing that I really want to leave us with today, is that for us as a church, it's us becoming bilingual. I'm not saying you have to start learning Spanish or French or Portuguese or Hebrew, although that would make my heart very warm. But what it's saying is it's learning how to translate that biblical message into the language and experience of our immediate context. Right? It's understanding what it looks like beyond the walls of our church. And I know I've talked about that a bunch, but it's understanding the context of where we live. There's a great Sesame Street song, and I'm not going to sing it for you in no way, shape, or form, because I want you to stick around for episode 3 of this podcast. But there's a Sesame Street song that says, "Who are the people in your neighborhood? In your neighborhood? In your neighborhood? Oh, who are the people in your neighborhood? The people that you meet each day?" And And then it goes on, and every episode there's a different one. There's the milkman, there's the mailman, there's the grocer. And it's funny because when you watch some of these old shows and in this, you're like, okay, yeah, they actually get this. You know, if we apply this to a biblical context of asking who are the people in our neighborhood, the people that we meet each day, and then go further to say, how can we impact them with the gospel? Then that is getting us to a point where we are that bilingual church, that church that is learning to translate the biblical message into the language and experience of the immediate context where we are, where we live, where we work, where we study, and where we play. I get fired up about this, and I get excited about this because I get excited about speaking on God's word. I get excited about reading God's word, and I get excited about sharing God's word, not just in a Sunday context. But I want us to get that fire going. And for some of us, it may be having to rekindle that fire. But as you read God's word and you've got questions about it, that's what we're here for. This is what church community life is here for, is for you to ask those questions so we can come alongside you. There's something very important about not only knowing that the God who created the heavens and the earth is coming alongside you, but the community that you call church, that genuine community and that we are trying to create, that authentic gospel living that we are striving for is coming alongside you as well. So it's not you alone. It's you with the God of heaven's armies, and it's you with this great community that we call church. And that's something we get excited about. Now, I should probably stop there. I realize I never said in conclusion. And so you've been probably very patient in listening to see how long I will go on for on this. But again, I get excited about this. And I'm excited to continue talking about this and really trying to go beyond, you know, where we are now and saying, what does it look like for us to really participate in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Like, what does that look like out in the world as we really take action on this? Because again, it's easy for us sometimes to listen. It's easy for us sometimes to research. But now we have to respond. And we have to be willing to take action. Let's become that bilingual church, that bilingual community that takes the word of God and just is able to translate it into the language of what it actually looks like outside the walls of our church or the comforts of our own homes. Now, there, I said I was going to finish 3 minutes ago, then I started in on it again, so now I'm really going to stop. Next week, I'm hoping in our episode, I'm going to have a very special guest. I think she's very special. I think Sarah is going to join us in here as we share a little bit about our own lives. And really, I want to encourage you, if you're listening to this and you've got questions about myself or our family, where we've been, where we're going, I want to spend some time being able to share the passion that I have not only in my life, but, you know, help you understand the context of where I am as well. So feel free to send questions. I'm more than happy to answer them. Sarah and I will be here next week as we dive into God's word again, but also just talk life and talk what's going on in life right now. I can thank you all who have been sending your prayers and praying for us as we get ready to move down to California. It must have been working because it's warmed up from where it was about minus 35. Now it's hovering around 15. So clearly your prayers are working. Keep praying if it makes it keep on getting warmer, but, you know, I'd much rather experience that in the context of California than where I am right now with snow on the ground. But anyways, take care. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for sharing in your passion by listening to this, and hopefully you're able to take away something from here and actually put it into active gospel living. or as I like to say, genuine gospel living, for the rest of the week and into next week. Take care, and we'll talk again next week.